So if I told you that I was a woman, what would your response be?
Good for you. Okay. Like, yeah.
Nice to meet you.
I'd be like, what? Really?
I don't have a problem with it.
Blessings to Israel presents Discerning the Times, a program committed to encouraging you to view current events through the lens of the Bible. Now, in honor of the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please join us for today's program.
Welcome to Discerning the Times. My name is Brian Thomas. It is a blessing to be with you once again this week. Today, we're going to take a look at what we see happening in our nation, the delusion of the last days. That opening clip was from the Family Policy Institute of Washington, in which they took to the streets of local university campuses to ask some basic questions. And well, considering the times that we're in, you're probably not surprised by it, but some of the answers are startling and concerning. And again, it shows the times that we are living in. So we are going to get to that today. But before we do, I need to remind you that your eternal state is far more important than your current state. If you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I encourage you to do so today. Otherwise, if you leave this out of life without having received him, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire, separated from God. So will you please give your heart to Jesus Christ on today? All right, folks. So again, the Family Policy Institute of Washington, they took to the streets of local university campuses to ask three main questions. The first question was, do you think society should allow discrimination? The second question, is there a difference between men and women? And then thirdly, should people be allowed to use whichever bathroom, publicly speaking, they want, regardless of their gender? So again, we're going to hear some things that are really concerning, but it is an indicator of the times that we are living in. So let's pick up with the first clip in which they are asking the question concerning discrimination.
Do you think society should allow for discrimination?
No, I wouldn't.
No.
Absolutely not.
Can you define for me what discrimination is?
I haven't slept all night, but like, let me think. Let me use my brains.
What shall I do? Shall I make a replacing of the word?
See, discrimination is nothing more than discerning one from another.
That's not discrimination, that's using my free choice.
What?
Should a Christian florist have the freedom to discriminate against a gay couple that want the florist to participate in their wedding?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Do you believe that a Muslim print shop owner should be allowed to discriminate against a customer who wants to print a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad?
No.
Oh, I just got tricked. Yes.
Yeah. That's so, I don't know. It's
so. You think there's some inconsistencies in who you allow to discriminate and not allow to discriminate?
Yeah.
Should an LGBT catering company be allowed to discriminate against Westboro Baptist Church?
No, they...
Well, I don't know. I guess I'd never heard it put that way.
All right. So you saw when the people were first asked, should discrimination be allowed in the nation? The people said no. Then when asked to define discrimination, they were stumped. And so let me give the definition of discrimination. For any who are listening to audio only, you did not see it on the screen. The definition of discrimination is the recognition and understanding of the difference between one thing and another. In other words, discerning one thing from another. That is simply what discrimination is. And what we often see today is people arguing over things when they truly don't even know what something really means. They have these preconceived notions and they don't even really understand the meaning of it. And so you saw there when he described to this woman, he explained to this woman what discrimination is truly defined as. Her response was, that's not discrimination. That's using my free choice. And see, the thing is, people, folks do not want to know the truth. People do not really want truth today, because you see an example in which the truth is given. And she says, no, that's just my free choice. That's not what it really means. 2 Peter 3:5 speaks of willful ignorance. That is when people make a choice to be ignorant. You tell them the truth, you share with them what the truth is, and they reject it. And we see that happening throughout our nation. It's just spreading like a plague. Ephesians chapter number 4:17-18 reads, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." And again, that's what we see today. The blindness of heart of so many people. You try to share the truth with them, they reject the truth because they are rejecting of God in his way. And you saw in the interview there where he said, well, the Christian florist, should they have the freedom to not participate in the gay wedding? And you saw people saying, no, they should not have that freedom. But then when asked about the Muslim print shop owner, should have the freedom to not print a request for the cartoon Muhammad, you saw a different response from all but one person. And there's a saying out there that says, if there were no double standard, there would be no standard at all. And that's what we see throughout our nation. We see a double standard. You see, when it comes to Christianity and what the Bible says, what God's word says, you see there's a double standard. It's one set of rules that the Christians have to abide by. It's another set of rules that everybody else gets to abide by. Again, asking the question, what about the LGBT catering company? Should they be allowed to discriminate against Westboro Baptist? And if anyone that does not know, Westboro Baptist, they claim to be a Christian church, but they do things that are not biblical. They have these protests that are not godly, that are not of God. But you see, the person was dumbfounded when asked that question. And so, again, you see the double standard that is taking place. So let's listen to the next one when they're asking college students about the differences between men and women.
In light of all the conversation about gender and identity, we began to wonder if there's even a difference between men and women anymore. We went to Seattle University to find out.
Aware of the conversation going on in Washington State right now around kind of gender identity, gender expression issues, and the ability to access facilities on those grounds?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, there's general neutral bathrooms and like all the dorms and stuff like that.
I think that gender is fluid, so if you want to use a bathroom because that's a place and that's a space where you feel comfortable and safe in doing so, then I think that that's completely fine.
I think that if whoever you think you are, if you're male or female, then that's the bathroom you should go into.
I think if it doesn't really negatively affect anybody, then I think anyone should be able to choose what gender they choose to identify as.
People, no matter what their gender identification is, they should be allowed to use whatever restrooms they feel like they identify with.
Is there a difference in your mind between men and women?
No, yes. I mean, possibly.
In general, yes. But I don't know why I think that.
Socially, currently, yes, there is. There is no need for that difference to exist, scientifically and logically.
If you think that you're a male, if you think that you're a female, that matters more than the biological difference.
There's not much difference besides what society forces onto people.
And how do you know the difference between men and women?
By what people think they are. So you can't like judge someone just on like their looks.
I don't think there's any one way to really distinguish between a man or a woman, and I don't think it's necessary.
It's not always consistent. It has a high probability, like 98% of the time I can get it right. There is some ambiguity.
I think, yeah, there are ways to tell, but then again, you can always be wrong.
What would you say I am?
just judging off of your looks, I would say that you're a male.
I would probably assume a man, but then you never know.
A male.
Why would you say that?
Based on how I look at you.
Do you think that's a problem?
Yeah, probably.
Do you think the difference between men and women matters for any reason?
No, not really.
I think most sociologists agree that the concept of gender is more of a societal construct.
I do think it matters somewhat, yeah.
To me, no. I don't feel as if it matters to me because at the end of the day, the person is just a person.
No, I don't think it should matter.
And the differences on a social level are simply a product of a biased society.
Then is there a reason to have those labels, male or female?
I don't think so. I think that it's, again, a social construct of this binary that we're given at birth.
There is kind of a difference, but at the same time, if someone wants to identify as one or both or as nothing, I also find that completely okay. And
there may be nothing more self-evident in the natural universe than the fact that every animal species is divided into two halves, male and female. Yet the most intelligent of those species seems to be wrestling with whether male or female are actually real things. Have we discovered something new, or have we become too clever for our own good?
Sometimes when I call a lady sir by accident, they get very offended.
All right, so I commend the Family Policy Institute of Washington for going out and asking these questions to allow people to see the fallacy of their thinking. And this is what happened, folks, when woke ideology runs amok. And that has happened throughout our nation. This is a college campus. So these are college students. You're talking about the future leaders of our nation. And this is what we have. This is where we are. Because who in their right mind would say there is no difference between a man and a woman? Who in their right mind would say something like that? But you see, is very common today. And you saw in the interview when he asked the one woman about, you know, what is the difference? And she paused and said, well, no, yes. And then another woman said, possibly. Again, when asking the question about, is there a difference between men and women? And then the one man said, well, differences exist, but there is no need for that difference scientifically and logically. And he said, well, what's important is what people think they are. And society forces differences upon people. And then another woman said, there is no way to distinguish differences between man and woman, and it is not necessary. She said, there is no way to distinguish the difference between a man and a woman. Again, folks, college students. The leaders, future leaders of our nation. This is what we have. And you saw the term there, heard the term, the social or societal construct. That's something that you hear from these people often. It's an ideology. And they say, well, it's just what someone is assigned at birth. And again, this is crazy. It's concerning. But it's what Romans chapter 1, verse 22 speaks of. It says, professing to be wise, they became fools. And we see that on full display, because what if a crime is committed? So let's say someone robs a bank and the authorities are searching for the person. They're on the loose. Or what if it's a madman who's done a mass shooting and is on the loose, and the authorities are asking, is it a man or a woman? What are these people going to say? If they're witnesses, let's say they know this man, but the man identifies as a woman. So are they going to tell the authorities it's a woman that did it? Have the authorities out looking for a woman when it's really a man? Or are they going to say what's the truth? And see, that's the craziness of what is happening here. But again, these people claim to be so wise, but as the Bible says, they became fools. Genesis 5:2 says he created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. God created them male and female. God has assigned identity, and we cannot change it. We cannot change the truth. But we have one more clip that I want you to hear, again, speaking about gender and identity, again, on another local university campus in the area of Washington.
There's been a lot of talk about identity lately. But how far does it go? And is it possible to be wrong? We went to the University of Washington to find out.
Are you aware of the debate happening in Washington State around the ability to access bathrooms, locker rooms, spas based on gender identity and gender expression?
I think people should be able to have access to the facility.
I think bathrooms could and potentially should be gender neutral because there doesn't need to be a classification for differences.
I think people definitely should have the ability to go into whichever locker room they want.
I feel like at least public universities should do their best to accommodate for those who do not have a specific gender identity.
You know, whether you identify as male or female and whether your sex at birth is matching to that, you should be able to utilize the resources.
So if I told you that I was a woman, what would your response be?
Good for you. Okay. Like, yeah.
Nice to meet you.
I'd be like, what? Really?
I don't have a problem with it.
I'd ask you how you came to that conclusion.
If I told you that I was Chinese, what would your response be?
I mean, I might be a little surprised, but I'd say, good for you. Like, yeah, be who you are.
I would maybe think you had some Chinese ancestor.
I would ask you how you similarly came to that conclusion and why you came to that conclusion.
I would have a lot of questions just because on the outside I would assume that you're a white man.
If I told you that I was 7 years old, what would your response be?
I wouldn't believe that immediately.
I probably wouldn't believe it, but I mean, it wouldn't really bother me that much to go out of my way and tell you, no, you're wrong. I'd just be like, oh, okay, he wants to say he's 7 years old.
If you feel seven at heart, then then so be it. Yeah, good for you.
So if I wanted to enroll in a first grade class, do you think I should be allowed to?
Probably not, I guess. I mean, unless you haven't completed first grade up to this point and for some reason need to do that now.
If that's where you feel, like, mentally you should be, then I feel like there are communities that would accept you for that.
I would say so long as you're not hindering society and you're not causing harm to other people, I feel like that should be an okay thing.
If I told you I'm 6 feet, 5 inches, what would you say?
That I would question.
Why?
Because you're not. No, I don't think you're 6 feet.
If you truly believed you're 6'5", I don't think it's harmful. I think it's fine if you believe that. It doesn't matter to me if you think you're taller than you are.
So you'd be willing to tell me I'm wrong?
I wouldn't tell you you're wrong.
No, but I say that I don't think that you are.
I feel like that's not my place as like another human to say someone is wrong or to draw lines or boundaries.
No, I mean, I wouldn't just go like, oh, you're wrong. Like, that's wrong to believe in it. Because, I mean, again, it doesn't really bother me what you want to think about your height or anything.
So, I can be a Chinese woman.
You... sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
If you thoroughly debated me or explained why you felt that you were 6'5", I feel like I would be very open to saying that you were 6'5", or Chinese, or a woman.
It shouldn't be hard to tell a 5'9 white guy that he's not a 6'5 Chinese woman. But clearly it is. Why? What does that say about our culture? And what does that say about our ability to answer the questions that actually are difficult?
All right, folks. So again, these are college students. These are supposed to be the brightest and best that our nation has to offer. These are the future bankers. These are future doctors, people who are going to be that we're depending on to perform surgeries, to give us medical care, bankers, lawyers, politicians. This is what we have in front of us. These are supposed to be the wise and smartest, and yet basic questions, and you see what we have happening. Because the woman said there, the young lady, she said she didn't have a problem with this man calling himself a woman. And then when he asked her the question, what do you think about if I say I was 7 years old? This woman was tying herself in knots, trying to think of what to say. And then she was speechless. This is one of the examples of what Jesus was referring to in Matthew chapter 23, verse 24. He was talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, calling them out. He said, blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. The thing about it is, at least when you're straining out a gnat, the gnat is an infirmity. You don't want a gnat in your drink, although it's still exponentially worse to swallow a camel. Here, these people, they're straining at the truth. They're trying to strain out what is true. There is no infirmity. And they bypass that. They dismiss that in order to swallow a camel, to swallow a lie. And that is what we have in our nation. The overarching theme that you saw in those interviews is that it's okay to believe what you want to believe. It's all about feelings. Just dismiss the truth. It's all about feelings. And folks, this is a direct rejection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because of himself, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's John 14:6. Jesus Christ is truth. When you see people rejecting truth like that, they are rejecters of Jesus Christ. Because when you are a lover and acceptor and an acceptor of Jesus Christ, you want the truth. You love the truth. You don't reject it. Because again, here this man is saying he's 5'9", but he's saying, well, what if I say I'm 6'5"? So let's say there's a missing person, your family member. Let's say you have a brother who's missing. He's 5'9". But yet he thinks he's 6'5". So when the police come to take a report for who to look for, are you going to say he's 5'9"? Are you going to say he's 6'5"? That's the foolishness that we see taking place throughout our nation. Again, woke ideology. This is what happens when people harden their hearts to God, when they turn away from the truth of our Lord's word. And we're witnessing right before our eyes Romans chapter 1 play out. And I remember reading Romans chapter 1 when I was a child, but I never expected to see it happen in my lifetime, right here in our nation before my eyes. I did not expect it. But here's what Romans 1 says, beginning with verse 20. "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they would not worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worship and serve the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulge in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it foolishness to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done." That's Romans chapter 1, 20 through 28. And that is what we see playing out in our nation. People have been turned over to depraved minds. God is just giving people what they desire because they are rejecting him. And that's why you have to be so careful. You don't play with sin, because when you sin and you just continue to sin and rejecting the truth, there comes a point when God will turn you over to the sin that you desire. And at that point, you cannot reason right from wrong anymore. And what this is doing, folks, is leading up to what is coming in the future, the 7-year tribulation, following the rapture of the church, which will take place before the tribulation. There's going to be a time period, a 7-year time period, where Antichrist is going to come to rule. And listen at what the Bible has to say concerning that time. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12, "The coming of the lawless one, that is Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There is going to come a time when God is going to send a strong delusion so that people will believe a lie. And what is that lie? That lie is that Antichrist is God, and they are going to accept the mark of the beast, and they're going to be eternally damned. Now, you may say, well, how is that fair if God is going to cause them to believe it? But the thing about it is, God is going to give them a delusion simply because of their rejection of him, because they will not receive the truth. So he's going to give them what they want. It's just like when we look in the scripture, when it came to Pharaoh in Egypt, the Bible says God hardened his heart. But notice in the scripture in that text, it said originally Pharaoh hardened his heart. But over time, it said God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And some may say, well, how is that fair? But what it is that Pharaoh simply rejected God to the point that no matter what, his heart was going to be hardened when it came to the truth of God. So I live in North Carolina, where we get some blazing hot summer days. And when it's 95 degrees outside in July, let's say I have some pottery, some clay that has just been shaped and molded. And then I take a stick of butter and I walk outside and I place them side by side on the pavement. Well, what is going to happen? That sun that is beaming down is going to harden that clay into something that can be used for drinking or eating or whatever it is. But that same sun is going to do well. What? It's going to melt that butter. It's the exact same sun. But the reason one becomes soft and one becomes hardened is because of what it's composed of. What's on the inside? What's inside of it internally. And that is the same way when it comes to us. For those who love the truth, God shines his glory and it softens our heart. We love it. But for those who are against God's truth, it hardens their heart. And that is the deception that is coming in the future for those who are rejecting our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, folks, I encourage you to not fall to the deception, not give in to all this foolishness that is happening in our society where people are rejecting the truth and going along with lies, because the ultimate lie is coming in the future, which will cause you to have eternal damnation. So I want to encourage you today, receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Know the truth and the way, for that he is only our Lord, and that is the only way to the Father to inherit eternal life. Amen. I want to thank you for tuning in. Please come back and join us next time as we continue to discern the times by viewing life through the lens of the Bible. Until then, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Bless God's great nation of Israel, and to the only wise God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Discerning the Times. Please come back and join us next week as we continue to encourage you to view current events through the lens of the Bible. Until next time, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, bless God's great nation of Israel, and seek first the kingdom of God.